Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be holy and acceptable to you, O Lord, who is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It seems a bit different to be on this side of the pulpit for a change. In a way, though, it's kind of like getting on a bicycle. I just hope that the tires don't go flat. You know, life is a journey, of course. And from the moment of our birth, we are essentially a blank slate. Of course, we have the gift of life, and we have all the potential that there is, but we have not picked up all those things as yet. There are things that have to be written on our wall, so to speak, if you want to take up the Facebook analogy. And so we proceed through life learning to walk and to talk. And we learn that we have certain types of abilities. And so it might be in math, it might be in whatever, homemaking, it might be in taking care of kids, it might be in preaching, it might be with the guitar or the organ or whatever it is you do. Those are the skills that we pick up as we go on. And all of us have goals, an itch someplace in our lives that we need to fulfill, because that is how we are drawn. The Spirit of God hovers over and within us to pull us toward those things that He would like to have us complete and to take on as a part of who we are. So, we have dreams and expectations, and we want to go to new heights as we go on in life. It was July 22nd of 1982. It was in San Pedro, California. There was a gentleman by the name of Larry Walters. Larry, from the time that he was just a young guy, had such a desire to fly. He wanted to take pilot's training and get into his own craft and soar with the eagles. The only problem is that he couldn't do what he'd hoped. The Air Force, for instance, couldn't take him because his eyesight was so bad. And so there were times in his life when he was discouraged, thinking that, well, there's no way I'm going to achieve my goal after all. But ruminating about this for a while and thinking about it, he simply wasn't going to be robbed of his career and his fancy of flying. So one day, Larry Walters was sitting out in his backyard on a lawn chair, and the idea struck him. He went to a store and bought 38 weather balloons that are filled with helium, and he attached those to his chair. He had sandwiches along for a snack. He took a six-pack or two of beer, and he took a road map, thinking that, well, if I go over the neighborhood, I'd like to know what is that street down there. And he took a pellet gun. A pellet gun was to shoot out the balloons one by one so that he would descend in the proper order rather than crashing into the earth. And he was ready to go. He thought, you see, that he would fly over the neighborhood, the houses of his friends, and be able to shout down and say, "Hi, aren't you proud of me? Here I am. I'm flying, finally." Well, He achieved his goal. Before he knew it, Larry had ascended to 15,000 feet into the air. This is a true story. I'm not making this up. You couldn't make stuff up like this. It's true. So envision that, will you? You know, you're in your backyard minding your own business, and here up in the sky is this guy lounging in his lawn chair, drinking beer, eating sandwiches, and he's 3 miles up. Well, that's probably not quite what he expected. And so, as it happened, the prevailing winds forced him over into the flight path of the Los Angeles International Airport. And of course, that made a mess of everything for miles and miles around. Well, after a while, he had shot out enough of these balloons that he finally started to descend and descend and descend. And finally, he landed gently into the loving arms of the police. You could say that he stumbled up the hill. He stumbled up to his horizons. He flew, and a day he'll never forget. We all like to have fly days like that, to achieve what is in our heart, the itch that gets us that we need to scratch. And attaining those new heights can be scary, as Larry found out. And even though we enjoy writing things on our wall as we go through life, attaining and achieving, there are times when, you know, when it isn't all peaches and cream. We do have difficulties along the way, but overall, we do well in life. About 10 years ago, Jendine and I took a tour to Norway. One must do that, you see. If you are Norwegian, you call Norway the promised Holy Land. And so there we went. It was gorgeous. And I don't know if you've been to Norway, but I'll give it a plug. Put that in your bucket list. Go to Norway. It is beautiful beyond beautiful. You know, you're going around sailing through the fjords, and you think this one is by far and away the most beautiful fjord I've ever seen. Until you get to the next one. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. And as you're going along through Norway, you notice certain things. Like, for instance, every Norwegian seems to have a personal waterfall. There are waterfalls everywhere. Everyone has their own. And then there are farms and houses. Picturesque little things that are built on the side of the hill, precariously. You wonder how in the world do they stay there? How do people get there? And it's interesting that one day on our excursion, the bus took us to a mountain. And we're going to go up to see the sights. Oh, it'll be a nice, wonderful trip. You'll enjoy it. And so here's this great, big, huge bus that starts up this trail at about a 45-degree angle. That's pretty high. And I think the road had maybe one lane, a lane and a half in some places, and we're going around and back, and cutbacks, and the bus is rolling to one side, and you look out the window, and it's about 500,000 feet below. And you think that, you know, this is a white-knuckle trip, folks. And I'll tell you, you couldn't hear a pin drop in that bus. Not a pin. It was just awful with fright. Had I been a Catholic, I would have been praying the rosary. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and the hour of our death. I think that's what we felt. That's what we felt. And finally, though, after making this trip, we came to the heights of that mountain. And as we did so, all of a sudden, over the speaker system of the bus, came the Alleluia chorus. Oh, Alleluia! And you know, that bus, all those people laughed like crazy. It was just the most beautiful, wonderful, relaxing laugh you ever heard, because it took away the tension of the absolute fear that we had going up. And I'm not embellishing this too much. I think Jen Dean will stand behind me. Alleluia indeed. Absolutely alleluia indeed. For when we got out of the bus and started to look, the view was absolutely beyond comprehension. We could see for miles and miles and miles around, looking down, way down below at the beautiful fjords and the mountains that were in the distance. It was absolutely incredible. Absolutely. Well, you know, we'd like to stay there. Wouldn't it be fun just to stay here? But you know, as all things are, they must come to an end. And so you get back on your bus and you go back down to where life really is. One day, Jesus took along three of his buddies, the three of them that went up, Peter, James, and John. He said, come on, guys, let's go for a little hike. He was a tour guide this day, you see. And his disciples probably thought, well, now what? You know, they never knew quite what to expect out of this guy, Jesus. And so here they go on this arduous trip, walking up this hill, this mountain, wondering, now what's going on? Now what's he going to have for us? And so in their minds, they were probably stumbling up their hill as well. So when they finally got to the top, they had an experience that was beyond anything that they could ever have guessed, imagined, even hoped for. Because it was there that there was an intersection of time, past, present, and future. This experience was beyond time, because it happened that when they were there, Jesus became dazzling white in front of them. He was transfigured. God spoke over him and said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Jesus had been revealed as this Son of God, as the one who will take away the sin of the world. And so the disciples thought, "Oh, this is a good place. This is a good place, Jesus. You did well to get us up here. Shall we build a booth for everybody? You know, for Moses and Elijah, since they showed up too? And we can stay here, and we can worship you, and we can adore you, and we can enjoy these heights. Can't we stay here for a little while?" But Jesus doesn't allow that to happen. For you have to come back down from the mountain. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Follow him. Go where he goes." And so Jesus leads us back down the side of the mountain to where reality is. We have our epiphany. We have our transfiguration. And now we go down on the path toward Lent, where our hands get dirty in the rough and tumble of life. We are those disciples up there. We are them. We are with Jesus at that point. We're coming down the hill together, and we're going to that cross on that march called Lent. We're going to that cross where we find that Jesus has destroyed all sin and all death. And we are the ones who have the task, the gift, and the responsibility to tell everyone about that. Now, there's an interesting little thing that might not catch your attention right off the bat. Because Jesus said, don't tell anybody, don't tell anybody about this. You have to understand that Jesus was a very perceptive man, a great psychologist. He understood the point that if you want news to get out, if you want it to get out there anyplace, tell them this is confidential. Don't tell anybody, But, well, you know what they did. Like any other human being, they couldn't wait to get down there and tell everybody they saw and met and knew, and we're with them. Maybe Jesus tells us and whispers in our ear and says, don't tell anybody. Shh, 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 shh. It's confidential. And being human such as we are, we can't contain that experience we had on the mountaintop. But that prepares us to do the task of ministry to other people and for other people. And so there, my friends, we have what it's like, what we thought was maybe stumbling up the hill. We find Jesus there. Alleluia. That's the eternal alleluia that changes everything. And we are changed thereby because we have been accepted by God such as we are, and he has told us, you are my beloved son and you are my beloved daughter. Listen to me, and I'll be there talking to you. Think about those things, my friends. And let's stand right now and sing, Shine, Jesus, Shine.